Okay, welcome back to another session of Thursday evening Musa Shir, and we are on Daf Mem in the Shah HaBusha. We're discussing Shem, and last week we were on the topic of Busha Shem on a deeper level, in terms of not putting oneself in a position where you put something someone else in a position where they may be embarrassed to say no to you. On second, towards the bottom, the next paragraph, this really connects with last week, but we'll finish it up so we have officially done it. V'harotza lahargil atzma b'busha, a person who wants to habituate himself in the midah of busha of shame. Yeshev tamid l'fnei mi shemes mayesh mimenu. Try to find a place to sit wherever you go, and the place that you sit should be nearby a person who you are ashamed of, or I guess if you wouldn't behave properly, you'd be ashamed from the person. So I guess that would it helps with your sense of shame, and it helps with your sense of humility. And he explains a little bit further. And don't get into the routine of constantly asking questions or asking favors from other people, which end up humiliating yourself, and it causes you to lose your dignity. Once that happens, that a person humiliates himself, it's not easy to find someone who will restore it, perish, meaning that will be able to reinstate yourself to the original status that you were beforehand. So basically, this paragraph told us that a person has to be careful to maintain the sense of shame, of feeling embarrassed to do something wrong. So number one, sit in the presence of someone who you'd be embarrassed before. And then be careful not to ask questions, silly questions, I guess, that are below your dignity. Because once a person loses his dignity, it's not easy to have it restored. So that really finishes the previous topic. Now, let's go on to the next paragraph, and this is another aspect of the midah of shame, and that is shaming others for ulterior motives. Not always do we shame other people or embarrass other people because we're out to get them. There could be a motive for our own self that we are doing it. Take a look what he says. Yesh mevayishes chavero. There are people who embarrass others. V'lo bishvil shehu soni lo. Not because the person hates him. Not because you hate the other person. Elo bishvil lesalek boshto. You're doing it to distract any shame from yourself towards that person. I have nothing against you, but you're going to be the target in order to get the attention away from myself. Kigon. And he gives an example. Shehuo said, Devar Busha, next side of the page. If a person does something which is embarrassing, which is shameful, he goes somewhere he shouldn't have gone, he said something he shouldn't have said, he eats something, whatever it may be, he does something which is shameful. Viomer, and he says, Meo Sisi, what do you want from me? What did I do wrong? Vihalo Ploni Uploni Asu Kamoni. So and so does the same thing as I did. So you see, you're shaming the other person, not because you have anything against that other person, it's just that, hey, this takes me out of the spotlight, because how bad can I be? So-and-so does the same thing. Ubazehu mekel bashto mimenu. And in this manner, he lightens up the busha from himself. V'yesh bazeh roz gadolos. And there are terrible evils in this kind of action.
Oh my God.
So number one, he says, ha'acha shehu mevayesh shachem bishvil hanoso. Number one wrong is that basically what you're doing is embarrassing someone for your own benefit. You know, it's one thing to embarrass someone, stam to embarrass him, but you're doing it for your own benefit. Vashniya, number two, shehu miskashe bozeh loshuv. It makes it much more difficult to do tshuva from the shameful act that you yourself committed. Why? Ki yachsha, because you think to yourself, Me'al Sisi, what in actuality did I do wrong? Halo gam ploni ploni osukach. So-and-so did the same thing. This is, as they say, mamash, self-deception. Here is a person who did something wrong. It's an amazing insight into human nature here. you did something wrong. You know you did something wrong. The proof of the pudding is that you know you did something wrong because you're pointing a finger at someone else who also did the same thing wrong. But then at the same time, you think to yourself, I have nothing to do tshuva for. I have nothing to correct here because after all, other people are doing it also. So the same, very same person at the very same time could know he's doing something wrong and feel that he's not doing anything wrong. That's amazing, the human dynamics here. It's being brought up here that's the MO of today's society, because basically most people who do what they do these days, including unfortunately even in our circles, do it because other people are doing it. I mean, even something like this guy spent $100,000 on the wedding, so I got to do the same thing. Keeping up with the Joneses. Where does that come from? I'm doing it because other people do. We try to have a phrase in our house with our children that says, don't do what others do. Do what's right. If what others are doing is right, then do it. But don't do it just because others are doing it. And most people in the world do things because other people are doing it. I mean, the most, particularly with youngsters, but even with adults, I must say, but particularly with youngsters, teenagers, certainly, you know, the peer pressure, the concept of everyone else is doing it, and the kids, try to keep up with one another. So there's no one that affects a person's life more than the people he hangs around with. That is the and the environment. That's the environment. Who does one associate with? You know, we spoke about the concept of a chover here, one's friends. And I think we mentioned the word chaver is spelled ches beis reish. And if you look at those letters, you can unscramble those letters and it can spell three other words. It can spell bochar, choose. It can spell cherev, a sword. And it can spell barach, run away. So there's a beautiful lesson there. If the person you're associating with is a true chaver, a friend, then bochar, choose him for your company. But if he is a cherev, if he's a sword, if he's destructive, barach, run away from the person. So you see that, that's just a hint to the effects that to the people, so the company that we keep, the effect that it has on us. Okay, Hashlishis, number three, wrong is Shehu Machteyas Harabim. He is causing other people to sin. Ki miktoch hach yeosa hachet kal b'enei ha'adam, keven shehesir habusha meoso chet. Once I have rationalized that it's okay to do what I'm doing because someone else is doing it, the result of that is what I did is not shameful anymore. If what I did is not shameful anymore, then other people will follow suit, and other people who will look at me and acting in this manner will say, hey, there's nothing wrong. So it causes them to do it. Listen, once they see I'm doing it, hey, why not? So it's another person on the block who's acting that way. So the result is, of course, that is it's machtei asarabim, is causing others to sin, which is an incredibly high level of wrong. Wrongdoing. Let's continue. V'im hu omesh sheker al achirim kidei lahakel boshto. If the only way to get out of the busha, the shame for what you have done, is to lie, ozan shogodo bichavlayin, then you have doubled the sin. Kionesh hasheker godo miyod, because the consequence, the negative consequence, of course, of sheker, of untruth, is very great. Vishu nosin dofi b'ksherim, it incriminates those people who are kosher, meaning it's motzi shemra, it causes word to spread around town that a good person is doing wrong. Biyod harbe rosh tluyas bazeh, and many other terrible evils that are contingent upon it. So basically we see from this paragraph that a person has to be careful and be aware of the fact that it could be, whether conscious or subconsciously, we act in certain manners with the rationalization that if I get caught, whether I did it already or I'm going to do it, and if I, worst comes to worst, I'll point a finger somewhere else and say, you know, let's face it, in the business world, what's the most common phrase that's used in the financial world, in the business world? Business is business. Business is business. I mean, everyone else is doing it. Right? That's business. So what does that mean? That statement means I have not done anything wrong. Or even if I have done something wrong, everybody else is doing it, so it must be okay. So this is what another aspect of busha. We continue the paragraph here, and we see another aspect yet, and that is pressure, peer pressure. We mentioned, we touched upon a moment ago, the pressure to follow the crowd on a deeper level. And now, again, we have to remember that when we are discussing these things, we have to look in a mirror, so to speak, and contemplate if we are guilty of what it says here. This is very important. Otherwise, we're just reading Chas V'Shalom, a novel, you know, a nice book. Okay, here it is. Yesh mishbar yesh im yamona min averos. He says there are people who will be embarrassed not to sin. Hear this? They'll be embarrassed not to sin. Kagon. Let's say the people in my town, in my neighborhood, my associates, my friends and neighbors, are people who regularly commit a certain sin. And he gives examples. For example, kagon, listakel benashim, gazing at women, uchiyotza bozem isha averos, or other similar sins, umevayshim es hanimna mizeh, you hear what he says? I'll become the laughing stock of the neighborhood if I don't follow suit. Everybody else is going to a certain restaurant. Everybody else is gazing at women. Everybody else mocks and jokes around and goes to places they shouldn't go. Hey, you know, why not? Why everyone else is doing it? And we develop within ourselves a sense of shame, and a person doesn't want to put themselves. You know, this kind of stuff starts in grade school sometimes. Oh, yeah. You know, when everybody is beating up on one kid, and you stand back and you don't, you know, you feel bad. Just why? What are you, a wimp? You're a yellow belly? You know, you remember those phrases. So under pressure of embarrassment, you join the crowd, so to speak. He says a person has to strengthen himself to be able to bear the brunt of the shame. And we have to hold ourselves back from committing these sins. Even if we will suffer embarrassment. There are those people who are ashamed to fulfill a mitzvah. There are many mitzvahs out there that unfortunately people do not perform. And if you happen to be one of those people who does fulfill that mitzvah, and they make fun of you. In other words, they'll call you up. When you ever hear a comment like, hey, when did you all of a sudden become so religious? Oh, look what happened to him. I remember him way back. What's going on all of a sudden? It became a frumi. You know, as they say, it became a frumi. What? He's careful about it. He washes the tilla shadayim. He goes to shalosh shudas. And he picks up the go, look how careful he became to make sure he washes until the wrists. You know, and he's watching carefully. Wow. When did this ever happen? And they're saying it in front of you. And it's embarrassing, shameful, because everybody, you know, figures, hey, you know, all of a sudden what happened? It's cold. All of these examples, a person has to bear the shame and fulfill the mitzvahs. Never should a person contemplate for a moment letting go of a mitzvah because of shame. And this is a very important line. A person should better yet be shameful in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who instructed us to fulfill these mitzvahs. Ki zeh davar barur. He says, of course, it's clear as day. She'eved ha-melech lo yofer mitzvahs ha-melech. Any worthwhile servant of a king would not violate the instructions of a king. Gam im yisbol busha gadolim in ha-olam ha-sochakim ha-olam ba-asos ha-mashi tzivu ha-melech. Even if the entire world is laughing down his back, if he has an instruction by the king, he fulfills it. Ki yishgol ha-boshes, a person weigh, he should be weighing the shame. How much? Put it on a scale. Ki elef yodo shokol ha-boshes yizbayis lefnei ha-melech. On a scale, he says, it'll be 1,000 times more embarrassment in front of the king, and in this case, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for not fulfilling his mitzvah than the embarrassment I'll have to suffer for fulfilling the mitzvah. You know, guys going on a camping trip, for example. You know, wear the tzitzis or don't wear the tzitzis. Ah, tzitzis, come on, you're going to perspire, you're going to get dirty. Nobody else is wearing tzitzis. And, you know, you feel bad. So that moment, the person has to feel to himself, oh, you go, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's looking down, I'm going to have to face the music one day. And the shame that I'm going to have to suffer for not fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis, because look what I had to put up with here. 5-10 guys are laughing at me. And by the way, this is all mitzvahs. All mitzvahs. The so-called mitzvahs that have somehow become trodden upon. You know, shatness is another one. Mm-hmm. Shatness, that means you buy a suit, you got to take it to Rabbi Selmar here, you got to take it to the shatness tester, and you have to have a shatness. So a guy sees you walking through the street with your suit, you know what I mean, where you going? You're one of those? Come on, you really believe in that stuff? Wool and linen, you can't wool it to wear it together. Come on, old fashioned. And a guy shames you, bushes you out. No, these are examples. Now, let alone bracha achrona, you know, to say birchas hamazon, like we were just discussing before. All these kinds of things, sometimes we're under terrible pressure. What about talking in shul? That we bring up every once in a while. That's extremely powerful when someone comes over to you to talk to you in shul. And you know, you're embarrassed to motion to him, hey, I can't talk now. It's embarrassing, you know. Even though if we thought about it for a moment we thought about, wait a second, God versus person. That's what it boils down to. God tells me not to talk. This person is asking me to talk. And this person would understand. Generally speaking, the person would understand. Hey, you're right. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry, I apologize.
I'll talk to someone
right?
else.
I'll go pick on someone else. Yeah, fine. Let's face it, the pressure to speak in shul is very great. This, for many people who for some reason or other cannot come to shul during the week regularly, and they come on Shabbat, it is their one time during the week that they are socially together, and you have to catch up on all the week's news. I mean, come on. You know what I mean? And especially if you listened to Rush Limbaugh this week and the other guy didn't. Oh boy, you can go on for a whole Kriyas HaTorah is down a drain in that one, you know, lahavdil halavdila elav avdolos, you know what I mean? But it's a big yetzara. Continue, umisheino, second line from the bottom of the page. Umisheino sovel habusha bimkom hamitzvah mizbayish lasos hamitzvah. A person who nebuch cannot bear the sense of shame, and he's embarrassed to do a mitzvah of ozev derech hatov, and he lets go of the good path avur habusha because of the shame. Zu habusha ramiot. He says that is a terrible kind of shame, to be able to not stand up to it and swallow the shame. V'chein, furthermore, he says, im yisbayish lahodos haloemes, oi, being embarrassed to admit the truth. Gam zeh choli ramiot. This is also a very terrible thing. You know, to admit the truth is a serious yetzahara, not to, of course, because it basically is admitting the fact that you made a mistake. And certainly if it's a big mistake. But it's interesting. I don't know if you've ever been on the other side, hearing from a person who admitted the truth. Look, I always try to think of it that way. See, when you're on the side of the person, if you're the one who has to admit, oi, the shame is terrible. I lied. Sorry, I lied. The shame is gefährlich. But try to remember, if you were ever on the other side and someone said that to you, what do you feel about it? Okay, you don't make a big deal about it. If anything, you say, wow, you admitted the truth. That's unbelievable. That's a chash of a thing. So if we think when it's our turn, if it ever happens that we have to admit to something that we did wrong, just think about what it is that the other person that we're speaking to is sensing. We're making a mountain out of a molehill, in other words. And that's what prevents us sometimes from admitting the truth. It's not like the end of the world. Okay, v'chein, im yisbayish, third line down, yisbayish lochiach b'nei yodam la'ulatzavos lehem alatov. Certainly, if a person is embarrassed to correct someone who is doing something wrong, and of course, anytime we speak about this, we remind ourselves that it has to be done very gingerly, very carefully, chas v'shalom. It shouldn't be done, you know, embarrass the person, and certainly not publicly. You have to tiptoe like on eggshells. V'chein, the fourth line, Dayan, im yeshev l'vnei rabo, misvayesh lishol, mashenu yodea. If you go to a shir, and we're sitting in front of the Rebbe there, and a person's embarrassed to ask a question. Hein katon, hein gadol. He says, whether it's a small person or a great person, zeh meguna mo'od. He says, meguna means despicable. Not to be able to ask a question because you're embarrassed. V'al zeh omar akosav. And this, about this, Shlomo HaMelech said in Mishlei, im navalta behisnase. If you've become degraded, in other words, you ask a question that you had to hold on to your embarrassment in order to ask the question. It was an embarrassment to you to ask the question, but you went ahead of it anyway because you wanted to know the truth. Be'esnase, hold yourself high, feel proud about it. V'imzamosa yad lepeh, but if you want to respond by holding your hand to your mouth, meaning, basically it means if you endure the shame for the sake of Hashem, you will acquire greatness for it. Some people are ashamed. They sit in the shir and they're ashamed. Oy, if I ask such and such question, the rabbi is going to think I'm an Am Oretz. He's going to think, what, you didn't know such a simple thing like that? You know, he says, hold on, get him, feel the embarrassment, because the what you have accomplished by allowing yourself to feel the shame and asking that question will be merited with greatness. You will acquire much Torah greatness because of it. What's the problem? And then he quotes the famous Maimer Chazal in Pirkei Avos. Lo habayshen malamed. A person who is ashamed to ask will never learn. That's the point we were making before. You know, they tell a maisa, a famous maisa. We may have told it here around this table one time or another. The maisa was with Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the Rashiva of the Alta Rashiva of Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. And he was looking for a shidduch for his daughter. And he went to his uncle. His uncle was the Roshiva of Navardik. And he went to look for a young man in the Navardik Yeshiva to find a chosin, you know, a young man for his shidduch for his daughter. And he walks and he says to his uncle, who was the head of the yeshiva there, I'm looking for a shidduch, and there's a beis medrash for who knows how many hundreds of fellows sitting there. So the Alter Navardik says, that fellow over there, he is the biggest baki, and that means he knows the most of Torah knowledge. That fellow over there, he's the biggest lamdan, he's the deepest in learning. That fellow over there is the nicest guy in the yeshiva. And finally he says, but that guy over there, he's the best one. He's the best one. So the Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz asks, I don't get it. He knows the most, he's the deepest, he's the nicest. And now you say he's the best? What makes him the best? Because that fellow over there is never ashamed to ask when he doesn't know. Anytime the most ridiculous question, he gets stuck on a Rashi, a Tosfos, whatever it is, he will always ask. That's why I consider him the best person for the shidduch. And he took him for a shidduch. Who did that person end up being? That fellow who was never ashamed to ask? That became the stipler. Mm-hmm. That was the stipler. Imagine. So here you have the person who you would imagine, he's got to ask so many questions. He's got to ask so many questions. Look what it brought him. So lo habayshu malamed, never be ashamed to ask. Ela haderech hayasharihi. But the proper path is, shelo yizbayish lishol mashenu yodeh hinkaton gadol. Never be ashamed to ask whether it's a big or small. Halo Sira, and he ends up with in this paragraph with a proof from a famous incident. Don't you see? He says David Melech Yisrael, the famous David HaMelech, Sheomra, that he said a pasuk in Tehillim, Va'adabra beidosecha, I, David, spoke about your mitzvahs Hashem, your Torah, neged milachim, in the presence of other kings, v'lo evosh, and I never was ashamed to ask. By the way, melech, neged milachim here doesn't mean in front of other kings. It means, according to the Mefarshim, according to the Metzudas David, it means chachmei Yisrael, it means talmidei chachamim. He sat in the presence of great talmidei chachamim, and he was never ashamed to ask. If you want to know what the result of it was, he had a very famous great Einakel descendant that came from him. And because he exposed himself, David HaMelech exposed himself to the shame of Mephibosheth. One of the people who he used to learn with was Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was a great man, was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. But he used to embarrass you. In fact, that's where he got his name. Mipi Boshes. Mipi, from his mouth, Boshes, came shame. Mifi Boshes. We used to embarrass David, but he still would ask him questions. I'm talking about Torah. And because he stood there and took the ridicule, so to speak, from Mifi Boshes, he was zochet to have an ainikel called Daniel. We heard of Daniel, the famous Daniel. So you see that, you know, asking questions, sometimes we feel silly, but, now, by the way, this is assuming, don't get me wrong, this is assuming a person, for example, let's say you're going to a class that you had to prepare for. If you had to prepare for it, and there was designated places to look, you know, please study the lineage of Adam, so you should know that Adam and Chava were married. If you should have known it, I don't suggest, in that case, come unprepared and start asking silly questions. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, that's not an excuse for, of course, anybody to embarrass you for it. But I can understand then that a person, you know, this is not a carte blanche to ask silly questions if you're not using your common sense. This is assuming you have common sense, and you're asking what you feel, at least, is a legitimate question. We're fine. Okay, next paragraph, Chosid Nikra Ashem Habusha. The word Chosid comes from the word Busha, and he explains it. Busha means shame. Chosid means pious, not to be mixed up with pious. Chosid is pious, not pious, right? Don't get me wrong, please. I have Chassidish blood in my veins, so, you know, I don't want you to think I have anything against Chassidim, Chas v'Shalom. It's just that the word chosid means pious, not pious. That's all I'm saying. Ki chosid, the first line of the paragraph, ki chosid lashon lavan. Because the word chosid comes from the language of lavan, which means white. How do we know that? Ki taguma shel hachasida. Because if you look in the Torah in Devarim, and you see the word v'hachasida, who... Chavarisa. If you look in the Targum, which is Aramaic, you will see the Aramaic word for Chasida is Chavarisa, which means the white one. Uksiv, v'lo ato panav yechevaru. And his face will not be white. V'targuma shel cherpa hu chisuda. And the Aramaic word of cherpa, which means shames, a cherpa, who chisuda means chisuda as in chosid. What's this all about? What's the point of the Aruch HaTzadikim saying this? That chosid is white and white is the white one and the white one is shame and shame is chosid. What is it? V'chol zeh lama. Wow, what is this all about? Ki a chosid tzorech lizbol busha kadei l'kayim es haTorah. A pious Jew needs to be able to bear the brunt of shame in order to fulfill the Torah sometimes. And you have to remove from your face the sense of shame when it goes up against a mitzvah. And then and only then can the person be referred to as a pious Jew, as a chosid. And in that manner, he will be able to attain the level of nevuah of prophecy. Then you spoke in a vision to your chasidim. So you see that if a person allows himself to be embarrassed for the sake of Torah. And by the way, if you're wondering where the white comes in from, because when a person gets embarrassed, usually they turn what color? Red. But if they get very embarrassed, they turn white. Because what happens actually is, the blood rushes to your face, and that's why you turn red. And then if the embarrassment is too much, the blood drains from the head, and that's why your face is completely white. And by the way, that's the same reason why embarrassing someone is like killing the person, because when you remove a person's blood, it's like you took his life away. That's the connection here. Let's finish the paragraph. The person will attain with that shame that he had to endure to Yerushalayim, which is recognition of the greatness of Hashem, like it says, so that the fear of Hashem will be on your faces, so that you do not sin. What is the kind of awe of God that is recognizable on a person's face? This refers to the sense of busha. So you see that in order for a person to really become a chassid, be called a chassid, it is having that sense of fortitude to be able to be so committed to Hashem's Torah, His mitzvahs, that if it requires me being embarrassed, that's it. You know, sometimes we find even on a simple level, you go to the airport, you have to take a flight, and you don't have an opportunity to daven. You got to daven in the airport. No, some people have this feeling, I'm ashamed. Now, it doesn't mean you have to stand up in the middle of the terminal and daven. You find a corner somewhere. But what's wrong? I mean, I have a mitzvah. Hashem commanded me to put on tefillin. I have to be embarrassed in front of it. I've done it. I know myself. I've done it. The worst comment I ever got once was a guy came over to me and he said, when he was so my, I was putting my tefillin, he says, "That's an interesting way of taking your blood pressure. I never saw something like that." That's the only comment I ever got. But otherwise, you know, we do what we have to do, and with Siyata Deshmaya, we're able to, you know what I mean, to be able to serve Hashem properly.
Everything else is okay.
Okay, I think the next one is going to be a whole new topic, so we'll pause here. Yes, Hashem, we'll get together next week. Have a wonderful week. Sure.